Now you can open to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Should I come down or should I stay here and share from the... Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Unless you have questions before I start. All right. As you're opening to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, you know, as you know, where I'm from Lebanon originally, and I survived 3 years of civil war from the age of 12 to the age of 15. So every once in a while, I meet a fellow Lebanese, and we exchange stories of fellow Lebanese my age of the civil war that he lived or he survived. And, you know, I tell him how I survived this bombing, and somehow the Lord just saved me through this horrific incident that I survived. Someone gave me the scripture after surviving a bombing of a building where I was at. And so he proceeded to tell his story. And his story kind of got my attention. I still remember. It's been more than 30 years already what he shared with me. He said, this is way in the mountains of Lebanon. For our Lebanese relatives here, Paul and Amal, this is in Zahli. It's way up in the mountains of Lebanon, where there was a city in the valley, and the Syrian army was trying to take the hills around the city by bringing helicopters and landing troops to have the upper hand against the city, which was mostly Catholic. So they send these teenagers, 15 to 17, the crazy ones, to go up in the hills, and they were digging foxholes right on top of the hills to kind of block the Syrian army to proceed down to the city. He said he was working by himself, digging through the foxhole and just intensely going through and doing his work. And then he got up and he found himself in complete darkness. And he was terrified, he said, because it was so dark he couldn't even see his hand in front of his eyes. And he was terrified because if he takes the wrong direction, in a matter of 10 feet or so, he probably end up in the enemy's line. And so he didn't know where he was, and so he lost his orientation. He lost his bearings. And we find a similar example here is in Church of Corinth. We have this church that came out of a sinful culture, a culture that practiced lewdness, a culture that practiced uncleanness, a culture that practiced fornication. And the believers in this church were going through lots of issues and problems. And Paul wrote this letter to a church that in a way lost its bearings. The church was founded by Paul in his second journey in Acts chapter 18. And there were many issues, problems, as I mentioned. I know your church is perfect. Don't have any problems. Until we walked in. My wife walked in first. Then your church became imperfect. And the saying is, if you find a perfect church and you enter that church, it becomes imperfect. No church is perfect, brethren. As long as we are in this flesh, as long as we are in this carnal state we are in, we will have problems. We are going to have conflicts. And the church in Corinth was having many problems. And Paul wrote this letter diagnosing one problem after the other. They have problems with divisions and factions. They were bickering among themselves, acting like children. I am for Apollos, and I am for Paul. I can speak in tongues more than you do, perhaps. They were comparing how well they can use the spiritual gifts. The abuse and misuse of the spiritual gifts was another topic that Paul has to address, which is unfortunately is still a subject that is misunderstood by many churches. And we have denominations built on chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. These are revelatory gifts they were using and misusing them. There were problems with their Christian living. In fact, Paul told them, you have a sin among yourself, among you. You are allowing a man who is living with his stepmother, the wife of his father, in a sinful lifestyle, and they were okay with it. It was normal to them because of that culture they came out of. So this is a church that allowed worldliness to sneak in, to seep into the church, and kind of influence the affair of the church. There were problems with, you know, marriage. Other problems that Paul has to address with their doubt concerning resurrection. And as Paul is addressing these problems and prescribing solutions, we find that the Holy Spirit is giving us great doctrines. Chapter 13, we have the best chapter concerning love. He said, you are competing to have spiritual gifts. Let me tell you what's better than spiritual gifts: to love. And then chapter 15, the core of the gospel, the resurrection. This is our holy ground. Without the resurrection, we don't have hope. The resurrection is really the essence of the gospel. And so Paul goes from one problem to another, and then he finally comes to chapter 16, and then he's finishing his letter by thanking them for the sacrifice giving they gave to the brethren in Jerusalem. And then he proceeded to tell them about his personal plans. And then he came to his final notes to exhort them. And so at verse 13 and verse 14, we have five final exhortations. And these exhortations comes, of course, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You can liken it as a commander who's standing before his army. Imagine that and with me, the enemy is standing against them. And as a commander, as a king, he's addressing his soldiers, and he's giving them exhortations and commands to tell them, we have a battle before us, and we ought to go forth. And, of course, we have the victory in our Lord. But Paul here is summarizing all the solutions that he prescribed for them into these five separate commands, exhortations. Verse 13 says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, let all that you do be done with love. And by God's grace, we're going to go through each of those exhortations. And they are like check marks for us. It may help us individually. It may help us as our family. It may help us as a church. I don't know. This is God's word to us. And these exhortations is to encourage us and remind us that you and I are soldiers in the army of God. These are, all five exhortations are military terminology, by the way. And you and I, the minute we were born again, we became soldiers in the army of God. Read Ephesians chapter 6. It describes the full armor of God. We are facing a battle that the world cannot and will not understand. This battle started from the dawn of the fall of Adam and still going on. And we are at the forefront. In fact, the scriptures outline for us that we have three forefronts in this battle. The first forefront has to do with our sinful nature, with our carnal state. In Matthew chapter 26, our Lord says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. He said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Someone came up with an acronym about three different states where you and I are the most susceptible to temptation. He called it the HAT. And it stands for, HAT stands for, H stands for hungry, A stands for angry, and T stands for tired. And if you think about it, those are the three states where most of us are susceptible to temptation. When it comes to hungry, ask any Lebanese. He'll tell you what experiencing hunger. Don't stand between a Lebanese and his food, by the way. Do you know what we call our sandwiches? You know what we call our sandwiches? We call them bride. That's how much we love our sandwiches. So when I asked Mona, please give me a bride of ham and cheese, that's what how I refer to it. You guys call it submarines. I don't know what you call them. So I mean, I think it's funny you call it a sub, you know. But anyway, have you ever met, you know, when you're hungry and you went into a store, you end up buying like stuff like, I can't believe I bought all the stuff, because you are hungry and you become irritated, especially if you're driving. Angry. This is when you let go of your guards and that old nature burst out and words come out. Not only you're hurting the people around you as you are expressing your anger, but you're hurting yourself. This is why the scriptures warn us, don't go to sleep, don't go to bed, don't let the sun set unless you go and reconcile with a brother or sister whom you're angry with. Tired. Most of us come home exhausted. This is when I am susceptible the most. Exhausted physically. Mentally, I'm drained. Sometimes I wonder where all these thoughts are coming from that invade my mind, invade my heart. The influence of the world around us. And the Lord says, watch. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. A military term, to be watchful. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So the forefront is our sinful nature. The second forefront is the world. You know, the world, we know, as you know, is ruled by our arch enemy, by Satan. The world is not here to applaud you and me to live a holy life. The world is not here to encourage us to go and preach the gospel. I don't see in my work a month celebrating the month of the gospel. I don't see anything that says, let's celebrate this month for, you know, about Jesus Christ. You don't see that anymore in the world. The world is attacking anything that has to do with God. Anything that has to do with the holy God. We live in an evil world system. You think the city of Corinth was evil. We're living far more these days. And we ought to be watchful. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, Paul encourages the church there to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. And so as to really be able to protect ourselves from the worldly evil influence around us. We're very thankful for the Wednesday prayer meeting. We're very thankful that all of you come and pray for one another. Pray for your family. Pray for yourselves. Pray for your children. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Be watchful. And finally, brethren, if you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, we have a verse there that most of you are familiar with. And Peter describes this entity called the devil. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, he refers to him as the adversary. So this is our third forefront in warfare. This is the devil. It says here, be sober. 1 Peter 5, 8, be sober, be vigilant. By the way, all the verses are on the screen. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan is always hovering around, probing around to see where he can sneak in to oppose God's work, to oppose God's people, to oppose God's ministry, to oppose the church of God, to oppose the servants of God. But the scriptures gives us a strategy how to conduct ourselves in this warfare. The scriptures tells us when it comes to youthful lust, it says what? Flee from youthful lust. So the strategy is to flee. When it comes to the love of money, it says flee from the love of money. When it comes to habitual lifestyle that we need to address in our lives, it says flee from idol worship. Just like Joseph, how he had to flee from the temptation he was under with the wife of Potiphar. But when it comes to Satan, the scripture says, resist this entity, resist him, and he will flee from you. And you know why? Because the scripture is clear that the one who is in us, the Holy Spirit, is far more powerful than the one in the world. So you and I are in a warfare, spiritual warfare, that we are facing in three fronts. And the Holy Spirit is encouraging us to be watchful, to be in prayer. And these three war fronts is the believer's sinful nature, of course the world system, and Satan. Next, the second exhortation is to stand fast in the faith. This is the faith. This is the collective fundamentals of our precious faith. In Jude 20 it says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on the most holy faith. And the Holy Spirit is exhorting us to stand fast in our precious faith. I want to take two approaches to this. One that has to do with the gospel. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As I mentioned, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, gave us a marvelous chapter on the resurrection. But the resurrection happened to be the core of the gospel. And in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand. These days, brethren, we as believers, we tend to be ashamed of the gospel. We think the message of the gospel is too simplistic, too naive. That's what the world thinks about our message. And yes, it is. That's what it is. Christ died. He came. He became a man. And as a man, he died on the cross. And he arose in his glorious body. And now he is interceding for us as a man. This is the simple message of the gospel. To the world is foolishness, but to God, this is his wisdom. And so sometimes I find myself working with other missionaries or bumping into other missionaries in the Arab world where I see them thinning the message of the gospel. They thin it. They color it. They try to kind of massage it so it's acceptable to the world. We don't want to offend the world by saying, oh, the Son of God to Muslims. Because to Muslims, the Son of God is anathema. So say Prince. So they're changing the scriptures where they find the Son of God, and now they're putting the Prince. Don't say Jesus, his name. Say the Islamic name of Jesus, Isa. So now they're changing the scriptures, putting his name as Isa instead of Jesus, Yeshua in Arabic. And so we are brethren under, forgive me if I tell you that missionaries are doing more harm these days in destroying, distorting the simple message of the gospel. And we ought to stand firm on the gospel. It's our holy ground. It's the cornerstone, the pillar of the message of hope that we have, the resurrection. Secondly, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, Paul said, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. And so, stand fast in the doctrine. I'm very thankful for Pastor Delaney, and I know he's diligent to come here every Sunday and every Wednesday and whenever, just to really divide the Word of God rightly and to bring forth the oracle of God. The Word of God has to be taught from the church, because the church is the pillar of the truth. These days in the mission field, brethren, they are attacking the centrality of the church. So we find missionaries saying, no, we don't want churches anymore. We want what they call these small groups gathered all over the place. Call it rapid church move. I don't know what they... Every time we come up with some headache coming from the West in the mission field. Stand fast in the doctrine. We're not here to listen to someone's opinion. We're here to listen to God's opinion by being challenged by the Word of God, by understanding the depth of the Word of God, by comparing Scripture to Scriptures, by just diving in and finding marvelous truth in the Word of God. And we're losing that, brethren. We're losing that battle. And the Scripture says, stand fast in the faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, Paul tells Timothy, he said, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Again, I remind you of Jude 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, stand fast in the overall faith that we have, in the fundamentals of our Christian faith. Next, let's move on to be brave or be courageous. The Arabic translation says, be men. Act like men. Act like adults. In other words, don't be children. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20, it says, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice, be babes, but in understanding, be mature. You know, we Christians sometimes we act like children. I've heard horror stories of how believers in churches bicker and divide about some of the simplest, silliest thing. Years back, you probably know Dr. Sachs. He was sharing how his church went through a division, I believe, because of the stove they brought into the church. Isn't it sad? Believers, sometimes, rather, we act like children, comparing ourselves with ourselves. What matters is my opinion versus your opinion. And Paul was addressing that. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll read the first four verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. Twice he told them that you are carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? When one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? You know, a carnal believer is someone who acts just like the world. Years back, I happened to work with an engineer, and after a while, he found out, I don't know, we got to talk, and I usually wait for the proper opportune time. If they give me the opportunity, I have to tell them who I am, that I am a believer. And so he told me, oh yeah, I am a born-again Christian. And you know, I was shocked when he told me that. Because I've worked with him for weeks, and all what I heard from him is filthy swears and words that I could not believe that he is a Christian. That's what a carnal believer is. Someone who acts like the world. For the sake of time, I want to just move on to the fourth exhortation. I want to skip some of these verses and then go to be strong in the Lord. And you know, we discover, Paul said three times, he said in 1 Corinthians, and I'm skipping here, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, three times I prayed for the Lord to take that thorn. And finally the Lord answered him, he said, no, for my grace is more than sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul finally realized that, you know, God's strength is more what he needs. It's from his strength when he discovered that he is at his weakest of weakness. And he ends up saying, for when I am weak, then I am strong. We ought to draw strength from close fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We are facing challenges, brethren, either ministry, either the church, either family, either work. We are facing challenges and we ought to be strong in facing them. And this strength comes from close fellowship with our Lord. And finally, I want to just close, and this is also a military term that has to do with the Christian army. Be loving. Be loving. Let all that you do be done with love. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is a verse that sometimes I just read it and observe it. And look at it, and I marvel at this verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. It says, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Here's the challenge. Are you taught by God to love your brother? I tell people that the hardest trial for me is to love some of the brethren that I work with. But that's easy to love the brethren if you have close fellowship with our God. If you are fall in love with your God, with the Father, it's easy to come naturally loving the brethren. And this is what Paul is saying. He says, you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Saying, I love you, brother, or I love your sister, is cheap. But doing it, that's where the action is. Let your love be genuine. And why I say it's a military terminology, because in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, it says, above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love what? Love will cover a multitude of sins. That's how we cover. That's how we protect, if you may, one another. We're not here to pick on each other, gossiping and, you know, parading all the dirty laundry we may have. No, we're here loving one another. And Paul was commanding them, exhorting them, above all what you do, do it in love. You know, you and I, we have strong opinions. And we may argue about our opinions. We may differ about our opinions, but I still think my opinion is better than all your opinions. God cares less about my opinion. God cares about the unity of the body of Christ. God cares about how we treat one another and love one another. But why we pick fights, I do not understand it, brethren. It's our nature. If you disagree with my opinion, I want to fight you. And so we fight one another. And so the Holy Spirit is exhorting us that we are in a battle and we ought to protect ourselves. We ought to protect our backs, if you may, by loving one another. For love covers multitude of sins. Your love to your brethren reflect your love to the Father. Five exhortations. Five commands. In a sense, the Holy Spirit is summarizing most of the solutions that the Holy Spirit prescribed to these problems that the church was going through. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, Be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. These are five check marks for us. How are we doing in our battle? How are we doing as soldiers of our Lord Jesus Christ? How are we doing in living for Him in a society, in a culture that's sinful? To finish the story with the fellow I was talking to, and I told you he felt disoriented, he lost his bearings, and he was terrified. And I said, what happened? He goes, I looked around, I started looking around, and then all of a sudden he noticed this small light, small cross way far in the mountains. It's a lit cross. And he knew if he walked to the direction of the cross, he knew he will walk away from where the enemies were. What a good example for us. Going back to the old rugged cross. Reorient ourselves to the Lord who so loved us and left us a perfect example and exhorted us and left us with His Holy Spirit that lives among us. Amen? And we just want to close with Pastor Delaney. If you don't mind, you come. I am exhausted. I apologize. So if you don't mind, close in prayer. If that's okay with you. Yeah.
Our Father, we thank You for this day set apart for You. Thank You for the opportunity that we've had to assemble together in Your name, to get acquainted with these missionaries and the work that You call them to. We thank You, Father, for our time in the Word, to be challenged, to be encouraged. And Father, we thank You for the time that we've had today worship You in spirit and in truth. We pray, Father, for Dion and his family, that You just guide their steps as they seek Your specific will in their lives. We pray, Father, that You would give them safety as they travel on the road, and Lord, as they present their ministry in different churches. We pray for financial support that they need. We pray, Father, for a brother in Tipperary that is serving You just after the loss of his wife. God, give him grace and strength and comfort and boldness and braveness as well. And we do pray for that area of the world, Lord, that local assemblies would be planted and people would be saved. Father, lay in another region of the world. We pray for believers in the Middle East, Northern Africa, Father, that in darkness, we just thank You for Mike, His ministry of bringing Your word to that region of the world. We thank You for the many thousands of Bibles that people have had in that area as a result. Pray, Father, that those believers would prize the Word of God, value the Word of God, that they would grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ. And Lord, we pray as more Bibles will be printed, we just pray, Father, that You would see to it that they are protected in those warehouses and that they would make it to exactly the right home, the right families, Lord, the right individuals who are looking for the truth and are seeking You. So, God, we thank You for these ministries. Help us, Lord, to pray for them, that they would continue to be used of You as Your servants. We do pray for much fruit in both regions of the world. Now, we thank You again, Father, for this day of worship. And Father, we just ask Your blessing as we dismiss now. In Jesus' name.